those that are with us new today, we're in week two of a vision series that we're working through, where we're revisiting the vision that we articulated a few years ago for our church and asking questions around what does it mean for us to be living into that vision even further in the present and in the future. And I want to start today, we're in week two today, and I want to start today by asking a question, and I just need to warn you, if you put your hand up to say yes to this question, I may ask you a bit about it. So I understand you might be a bit embarrassed and you don't want to talk publicly, and if that's you, just be tricky and don't put your hands up when I ask the question. So the question is, has anyone here ever jumped out an aeroplane and gone parachuting? We've got one over there. So Christine and Fiona, okay, that's great. Now, you've both put your hand up, so you're prepared for me to ask you a couple of questions about it. Tell me, when you're getting on the plane and you're starting to, you're getting the thing on and what's it called, the parachute and the backpack thing, and you're about to hop on the plane and then you get in the plane and you start going up. Like, I'll ask you first, what's it like? What are you feeling when that happens? Yeah. And I imagine you start like a boom, boom, boom. You know, it starts beating a bit harder. Yeah. And so, Christine, once you're on the plane and you've started going up and you're nearer where you've got to get right to that ledge and you know that that's getting close, what are you feeling then in that moment? What's it like? What was it like for you? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah. 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 Right. That would be a worry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, wow. Yeah, great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing it. Fee, when you were there, I imagine, so you're there and your heart's in your stomach and it's going boom, 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 and then you jump and the earth's coming at you like pretty fast, I'd imagine. What's that feel like when you're sort of out there and you just, what was that like for you?
It was actually peaceful.
Yeah.
But it's just a lot of free falling for about 10, 20 seconds.
Yep. Yeah. And what was, was it sort of like, or was it, how would you explain it? Yeah.
But you're too shocked to even make a lie. I couldn't scream. I was just like,
Yeah.
And then, when the parachute goes up, it's just almost like you're just suspended in air for a little bit.
Yep.
And there's a bit of relief going on to get the parachute worked.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, wow. And what was it like once you'd landed? So your feet back on the ground and you know you're in one piece. You know, what was your feeling then? Yeah. Wow. And how about for you, Christine? Once you'd landed and it was all over, what was the sense of feeling there? Do it again. Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Yeah, wow. Well, thank you to both of you for sharing that. I think we as a church are at the edge, ready to jump. And for some of us, you know, it's a scary thing when we're about to jump. And for some of us, we're not even prepared to get on the plane yet. We're just going, no, this is not for me. I'm just going to do what I know, keep it simple for me, and I'm not getting on the plane. There's another group, I reckon. They've already jumped. They're going, hey! And they'll say, go, God is good. We're living into all this stuff. It's fantastic. Here we go. All right, it's awesome. And there's a big group of us, I reckon, where we're still on the plane. We've got our parachute strapped to our back. But we're sort of maybe backing up against the wall a bit. We don't want to get too close to the edge just at the moment. I'm going to visit this idea a bit later in our message today. But first, we need to give you a bit of a background to, I guess, giving you some context of where we're at and the journey that we've been on in the church as the last few years. And I do this, I guess, for all of us, but especially those that are fairly new with us today. In 2014, we as a church conducted a review. It was a six-month process, a long review, and we did it together as a congregation. And out of that review came a number of things that we've looked to live into over the last few years. And we've done some amazing things. And God has blessed us in some amazing things. In the last 3 years, we've seen a community garden get up and going. And we're seeing this garden become established, and we've got people from our local community joining us in the community garden, and we've now got a group that are cooking food in the kitchen. So every Wednesday there's a group that come, and they, some are gardeners, some are cooks, and they're preparing food that goes out to those in need. It's a fantastic story that's unfolded over the last few years, and a big part of that was that we were sort of exploring what does it look like for us to live into our vision. Now, our vision, I guess, is summarised, or if you want to use modern business terms, which we don't like doing too much, but it's branded by a statement that is, we want to be a community where all people matter. And when we talk about all people, we're talking about not just those of us in the church, we're talking about all people. People out in our communities, in our towns, in our nation, in our world. Now, there's a diagrammatic depiction of this vision, which will be up on the screen, hopefully, have we got it there? I think it'll come. If it doesn't matter, we saw it last week. And this picture that we've got, this is probably, have we got it, Neil? Oh, we didn't get to it. That's all right. It's actually my mistake. I was a bit disorganized this morning. Last week we showed you a picture, and I'll post this picture up on our Facebook group. If you're not part of our Facebook group, let me know. I'll make sure you're part of it, and we'll have it there so you can see it. But it's a bit of a picture of what does it look like? What does it look like for us as a church to be living into our vision? And so we've got this picture, and it sort of describes in various circles our Sunday morning service, which is a really important part, but historically the Sunday morning service has more or less been the main part of what does it mean for us to meet as a church. But we're now looking to live into other aspects, and that includes planting new churches, new congregations, new smaller groups that are centred around the cause of mission, and we're hoping to live into this in the future. Now, we're only just scratching the surface of it. And I mentioned the community garden, and that's one example where we're just scratching the surface. We're not quite fully there. We haven't quite fully lived into it, not even with those things that we've started. But we're scratching the surface, and we want to live into it together. Now, tying this vision together and is what is the basis of this six-week series are six different threads. So the six different threads are the concept of Missio Dei. We talked about that last week, which explains and talks about how our God is a missionary God. He wants to make himself known, and so our role is to partner with him and discern how he's at work and how we might best partner with him. The second thread, and that which we're in today, is a sent posture. And we'll talk about, there it is. Thank you. We'll just move on to the next slide, actually, because I've moved beyond that now, but I'll make sure that goes up on our Facebook group later. Today we're in a sent posture, and I'm going to talk about that. Next week we're going to talk about adaptive structures, and then a permission-giving environment, a place of welcome, hospitality and inclusion, and a place that nurtures a white-hot faith. And they're the things that we believe, if we as a church can live into these, then we will see or start to see what God has for us come to pass. Now, what we're doing over these 6 weeks is that every Sunday night we're meeting for further discussion. And we had a great time last Sunday night. There was 20 people that came together and we discussed what does it mean to live into the Missio Dei, to partner with God and to understand and discern how He's at work. And it was a really important discussion. There were lots of great learnings that came out of that, some of which I'll share a bit later. And we're going to do it again tonight. So if you're interested in going deeper in this thing that we're talking about around our vision, especially what does it mean to have a sent posture, then make sure you come here tonight, 7 o'clock in the foyer, beautiful supper and coffee and great time together as well. When we're talking about a sent posture, as I move into this particular thread, there's two aspects about it that I particularly want to highlight today. The first one is that it's for everyone. A sent posture is for everyone. If we could go to the next slide. Thanks, Josh. It'll be up there. Next one. Yeah, there we go. Thanks, mate. Now, I wonder, has anyone here ever spent time with, like, a crazy evangelist? Like, have you ever spent time with someone that just, I don't know, they're always talking to other people about Jesus and, you'll have a coffee with them in a cafe and they'll start talking to the waitress or the waiter and telling them about how good Jesus is and that they need to believe in Him. And then they've got stories about with their taxi driver or their Uber driver leading them to the Lord or you know, all that sort of stuff. And you sort of admire them in a way, but you don't actually want to be around them too much because they're a little bit embarrassing. You know, they make you feel a bit uncomfortable and, you know, I'm not going to take them into the cafe where I go, where all my friends are, because, like, seriously, no one will talk to me after that. Now, don't get me wrong here, because there is actually a place for that sort of bold witness, I think. When it's done well and it's appropriately and it's operating through a spiritual gift, there is a place for it. And some are, in fact, gifted in that way, and that's fantastic, and those people need to be released into that gift and encouraged and affirmed in that gift. But my experience says that most of us aren't like that. For most of us, this idea of actually sharing our faith presents challenges. It presents fear. Even the thought of it can sink our heart to our stomach and start our heart beating really hard. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, it says this. Now, Jesus came to them, He came to His disciples, and He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you to always to the very end of the age." Now, most of us that have been around church world for any long period of time will know and be familiar with that passage. But to go and make disciples. There's a variation of this in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 where it says we are to be His witnesses. We are to share His faith with others. Now what's interesting about this is we unpack the New Testament and we look at the words of Jesus and we look at the words of the apostles who wrote various parts of the rest of the New Testament and we put it all together. What we realize is that this isn't just a commission for Jesus' 12 disciples or apostles. This is something that's for all of us. For anyone who wants to be a disciple of Jesus, we need to take the command to actually go and make disciples with utmost seriousness. You see, this idea of evangelism and mission, it's actually not just for the crazies. Or, another way of putting it, and perhaps more appropriately, the really gifted people in that area. It's something that's for all of us. We all have a role to play. Now, the next point that we've got, I believe, actually really helps us understand how that role can unfold in our own lives. Because this is quite challenging stuff, especially if we're a little bit more on the introverted side or we've had experiences where people have rejected us because we've tried to share our faith or we haven't ever seen anyone come to faith because we've tried to witness and all that sort of stuff. And whether it's rejection, whether it's failure, whether it's just introversion, whatever it is, you put those things together and it makes this stuff really hard. And yet, as we unpack our next point, I believe it gives us some clues as to how this might unfold and work in our own lives. Our next point is that a sent posture is all about our positioning. We'll go there. Thanks, Josh. It's all about how we position ourselves. Kim Hammond, a guy that's a Melbourne guy, written a book called Sentness, Six Postures of Missional Christians. Sentness, Six Postures of Missional Christians. And he, in this book, he writes this. He says, church people think about how to get people into the church. Kingdom people think about how to get the church into the world. Church people worry that the world might change the church. Kingdom people work to see the church change the world. Do you hear what he's saying there? Kingdom people think about how to get the church into the world. I have a concern, I guess, that we seem to default into being church people. And yet our default should be being about kingdom people. A people that take the church into the world. A people that take the presence of God into the world and see the change and the transformation that only He can bring. In John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, peace be with you, Jesus is saying. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As we unpack all of this and as we think about it and reflect on it, it has massive implications for us. Implications around whether our faith is just something that we express on a Sunday morning for an hour or so, or whether it's something that is expressed 7 days a week. Last Sunday night at our vision discussion, our first discussion, we had a really helpful conversation around what it means to partner with God in His mission. And we recognised that an essential element in this partnership is our own posture, where we position ourselves. I think as disciples of Jesus, there's a process of maturity that we move into. That passage in Matthew 28 talks all about what does it mean, or unpacks what does it mean a bit to be a disciple, obeying all that He taught. And there's a maturing that I believe we need to move into, especially in terms of what it looks like around this sent posture. I want to highlight just three progressive steps that you can sort of understand. You can see where you're at when you hear these three steps. And maybe you can look at, well, what does it mean for me to move on to that next step? Go to the next slide. Thanks, Josh. So there's three steps. The first step is that people know I have a faith. People know I have a faith. Next one, Josh. Thanks. There we go. And this step is all about the fact that my faith is a public faith, not a hidden faith. It's about the fact that I'm not afraid, nor am I ashamed, nor am I fearful to actually just acknowledge that I'm a Christian. Now, that's not even easy sometimes in itself. Some of us work or go to school in very hostile environments. Environments when it means where to acknowledge that yourself or to go public with the fact that you've got a faith, it has great potential that you're going to experience some sort of rejection out of that. It's hard stuff, but the first step of maturity in this area is that people just know I've got a faith. If the opportunity comes, I don't go actively looking to preach or anything like that, but if the opportunity comes for me to acknowledge that I have a Christian faith, then I will. And that faith is public. The second progressive step towards maturity is a step that says, I'm comfortable talking about my faith with others. I'm comfortable talking about my faith with others. So this is some of the interactions that you might have. And so it's more than just, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's when people start to ask you questions about what it is you believe, and you're comfortable just saying, well, this is what I believe. You know, this is what Jesus has done for me when I've prayed and He's answered prayers. Or this is how I've recognized that, you know, my life, as I've followed His teachings and what He's said, you know, my life is so much better because no matter what happens, even though bad stuff happens from time to time, you know, I've got a mechanism in which I can not only cope with it, but thrive in it and through it. And so you become comfortable about talking about your faith. But there's another step still. And that step is where I can encourage others to discover their own faith in God. I'm encouraging others to discover their own faith in God. This is a hard one at times, because one of the things that, you know, what we come up against, I guess, is that when we go out into our communities, our places of work and all of that sort of stuff, is that people have these antennas. And if they suspect you're proselytising is, you know, preaching, you know, they, with a view to try and encourage them to convert and to become a Christian, as soon as they sense there's a bit of proselytising going on, often there's this whoosh, and there's this big pushback that happens, and then the conversation goes nowhere and they give you a wide berth. And that can be a real challenge in itself. But there is a way, I believe, of being able to encourage others to consider their own faith in God that's not proselytising, at least not in the way in which we've more or less historically been trained to do it. Too often we've been told about or presented a model that sort of teaches, that somehow we've got to be one-hit wonders. We've got to be like that gifted evangelist that converts a taxi driver from one conversation. I mean, do those things ever actually happen? Thank you, Neil. They do, don't they? Occasionally they do. But more often than not, it happens in a context of relationship, respectful relationships, relationships where we're listening as much as we're talking. But in that type of relationship, we should not shy away. If the relationship is respectful, if there's talking and there's listening, we should not shy away from encouraging the formation of faith in others. Now, a big part of this is that we need to go into the spaces and places where people meet. We need to be consistently present in those spaces. Now, in a few months' time, I'm going to be sharing about a spiritual practice that I've put in place. So I can't really share too much about it now, other than I'll just give you a bit of a snapshot of what it is. And so what we've been doing over the last little while, and we'll do it throughout most of this year, is that various leaders in this church are adopting a missional spiritual practice for a period of time, and then coming to the church and sharing about their experiences with it as a way of encouraging us to consider adopting those spiritual practices for ourselves. And the spiritual practice which I'm now putting in place, which I'll be sharing about in a few months' time once we see how it all goes, is to be consistently present in the same place at the same time every week. Now, I like coffee, so I'm going to do it in a cafe. It makes sense for me to do that. And so every week, same time, same cafe, I'm going to go in there and have a coffee. I'm just going to be on my own. I'm going to either do some prep, or I'm going to journal, or whatever it is. But when I'm there, I'm going to look to engage. I've already started doing it, and often, more often than not, it's the same people that are there. The same staff are there, because I'm going at the same time, the same place every week. Even the same customers are often there. And so you're sort of getting to know people around you a bit, and starting to engage in conversation, and who knows where it's going to go? I'll share it with you in a couple of months' time. But there's a difference between being there and being present. And so as I go into this space, I'm going being really present, with my eyes and ears open, looking for opportunities to engage and to share God's love in all sorts of different ways with others. See, sent posture is about being intentional. It's about being consistent in our presence. It's about living out, as well as sharing, our good news about Jesus with others. Last Sunday night, we had about 20 people gathered here, as I've already said, and we were on four different tables, and we did a little survey of the various organisations in our local community and beyond that we had meaningful involvement in. So not so much organisations that, you know, we go to once a year and whatever, but that there's a connection, there's relationships with people through those organisations, that we get in each other's lives a little bit, all of that sort of stuff. And so we did this survey, and I had a whiteboard with a marker, and I started writing up, you know, and so we got through two tables and we'd filled the whiteboard of different organisations. Afterwards, we collected all the papers and we collated them, and there's 20 people, over 40 organisations, mainly local, were shared. These are organisations which I'm involved in on a regular basis, many of them weekly, many of them local in our local community, where there's meaningful relationships, opportunity for engagement in others. Now, as we extrapolate this out across a church of this size, then I conservatively estimate that we have meaningful connection and relationships as a church with over 8,000 people every week. Now, in addition to this, there's some incredible opportunities that sit here right under our nose. We built this facility to be a community space. We opened it 3 years ago, almost to the day. And we built it to be a space that could be used by our community. And as we've done that, this space is now being used every single day of the week by people in our local community. We have the Gisborne Dance Academy that are using it 5 or 6 times a week. We've got our community garden that meet here every Wednesday. We've got the First New Gisborne Scouts group that take over the place on Wednesday night. We've got Weight Watchers that meet on a Monday night. We've got our Patchwork Ladies that meet on a Monday during the day. We've got Narcotics Anonymous who meet lunchtime on Saturday. We've got our Untitled Youth group who meet here every second Saturday night or there or thereabouts. We've got other organisations such as the Bendigo Bank and various others who are meeting and using this space on a regular basis, and it represents that every single week over 1,200 people are coming and using this space. It's right under our nose. Maybe today God's saying something to you about this. If He is, come and talk to me. I'd love the chance to talk to you more about some of the opportunities that before us, or as well as coming and talking to me, come tonight, because we'll be talking a bit more about that tonight as well. One of our great challenges as a church is that we're doing this great stuff, man, amazing stuff. God has just blessed us incredibly. And I know John Friesen talks a lot about, reminds us, and it's good, about what a blessing it is to be in this building. And it is. God's blessed us with great people here. God's blessed us with a great team of leaders who help us navigate our way through stormy waters from time to time and do so with compassion and mercy and great wisdom. But there's one thing. One thing that we're yet to really see. We haven't yet seen heaps and heaps of lives changed. Yeah, we've seen some. We've seen God changing our lives, and we should not undervalue that. That's so important. It's wonderful, and we praise God for that. But we haven't yet seen a transformation of our community. I'm somewhat haunted by the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I want to encourage you to come tonight. Maybe just as that first step. Putting your hand up and saying, yeah, I'm going to step out in this. I'm going to put my parachute on. I'm going to move away from the back of the plane. And just maybe I might get to the edge here and have a bit of a look. If you come tonight, I'm going to push you off. No, I promise I won't do that. There's an invitation today to take the next step. Just about all of us are here for a reason. Just about all of us turn up to a place such as this each week, or every second week, or third week, whatever it is. And you turn up because there's something going on in your life. You know, I want to find God in my story. I want to see God at work. I want to somehow make a connection with Him. I need to see and understand how His presence is at work in my life. And so I come here, and wonderful. But you want to really find God? You want to see miracles unfold in your midst? You want to see His power and His presence at work? You want to experience His love and grace in abundance? You've got to step off. You've got to take the jump. Sure, your heart's going to sink to your stomach. It's going to beat. And there's a moment of time before here and then once you've jumped. And there's that moment of time, and once you've jumped, peace, lightness, I'm being carried. But we've got to get to the edge. And we've got to take the jump. Let's pray.